This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain future quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 475 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. May corn, 482, down 2 1/4. July corn, 486 and a quarter, down 2. March soybeans, 1420, up 2. May soybeans, 1420 and a half, down 2 1/2. July soybeans, 1395 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. March wheat, 637 and a quarter, down 2 1/2. May wheat, 642 and a half, down 1. July wheat, 646, down 1. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Wednesday afternoon. With an easing of the tensions in the Ukraine and the continued shipping of grain, the trade focused back on fundamentals again. China cancellation of a soybean contract moved soybeans lower. Corn and wheat traded lower with a plentiful supply. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 2 cents lower at 442 to 466. Soybean bids were mixed at 1384 to 1412. And in the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents lower at 448 to 470. And soybean bids were mostly 2 cents lower at 1402 to 1426. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to a penny lower at 453 to 483. Soybean bids were 2 to 3 cents lower at 1392 to 1426. Wheat bids were steady to a penny lower at 615 to 675. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 3 cents lower at 1424 to 1446. The basis was steady at 3 to 25 over the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 469.60 to 504.60 per ton. That was down 10 cents, with the basis steady at 20 to 55 over the May. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 2 to 5 cents lower at 468 to 478. Basis steady to 3 cents lower at 4 to 14 under the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 5 to 9 cents lower at 471 to 476, with the basis 3 to 7 cents lower at 3 to 11 under the May. Soybeans ended mixed 1413 to 1427, with the basis steady to 4 higher at 8 under to 6 over the May. New crop wheat prices were mixed at 621 to 630, with the basis steady to 2 cents higher at 16 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 494 to 495. These elevators raised their soybean prices 1 to 4 cents, with quotations of 1431 to 1442. Soft wheat closed a penny lower at 669 to 670, and Milo ended the day 2 to 11 cents lower at 541 to 558. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. Starting in the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 442 to 458, and soybeans from 1137 to 1169. In the central part of the state, corn ranged from 449 to 461, and soybeans were 1146 to 1169. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 444 to 463, and soybeans from 1148 to 1185. Soft wheat was being offered at 606 to 639. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, $143.67, down $1.95. June live cattle, $135.77, down $1.22. August live cattle, $133.40, down $1.30. March feeder cattle, $172.22, down 67 cents. April feeder cattle, $174, down 35 cents. May feeder cattle, $174.70, down 45 cents. April lean hogs, $110.72, down 95 cents. May lean hogs, $115.70, up $1.15. June lean hogs, $117.75, up $2. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 5th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.04 higher, in the range of $90 to $104, with a weighted average carcass price of $100.63. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to $2 higher, with moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 64 to 70, 4 to 5 weights 65 to 73, 5 to 550 weights 69 to 74, and 550 and up 70 to 75. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging in price from $70 up to $75. Receipts today for Illinois hogs totaled 12,171 head. And now for the report from United Producers Livestock Auction for Tuesday, March 4th. They had receipts of 398 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 147 to 153. Select and choice steers were 140 to 146. Select steers were 130. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 138 to 142.50. And select Holstein steers were 120. Choice slaughter heifers were 147 to 152, and choice 3 and 4 slaughter heifers were 144 to 146. Select and choice heifers 136 to 145, and select heifers at 120. On to the slaughter cows, they had some premiums bring 102.50, boners were 85 to 94, and leans were 77 to 89. They also had a few slaughter bulls over 1,500 pounds. They ranged in price from 108 to 115. On to the feeder steers, medium and large ones. They had some six weights, bring 154 to 170. Medium and large heifers were 151 to 169. They also had some six weight heifers, bring 135 to 145, and some eight weights, bring 130 to 134. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 147 to 148 and on a dress basis at 238 to 240. Heifers on a live basis traded at 147 to 148 and on a dress basis at 240. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 482 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 109.05, which is $1.51 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $234.51, that was $2.75 higher, and select carcasses at $231.93, that was $2.19 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 106,000. That compared to 115,000 last week and 116,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 423,000. That compared to 428,000 last week and 429,000 a year ago. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. March corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.77. April corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.82. March corn delivered to Scottville, $4.68. April corn delivered to Scottville, $4.73. March beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.16. April beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.17. March beans delivered to Scottville, $14.05. April beans delivered to Scottville, $14.06. March wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.34. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.77. Corn at Scottville is $4.68. Beans at Greenfield, $14.16. Beans at Scottville, $14.05. And wheat at Scottville, $6.34. USDA has decided to move forward with a recommendation from the final report of the Advisory Committee on Biotechnology and the 21st Century Agriculture regarding biotechnology and coexistence. The recommendation is to foster communication and collaboration to strengthen coexistence among farmers. Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman says a hallmark of U.S. agriculture for decades has been the ability of farmers to pursue innovation, utilize diverse cropping systems, and respond to consumer demand for high-value identity preservation and specialty crops. Contrary to those who say there is widespread disagreement when it comes to coexistence and agricultural biotechnology, Stallman says the diversity and vitality of the industry wouldn't be possible if not for the past success of coexistence or simply being a good neighbor. As it starts warming up and signs of spring begin to show, farmers are eagerly looking towards their wheat fields to see if their crop took a hit due to the rough winter. Global supplies of wheat could get short this year, especially if the situation in Ukraine worsens. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions for an overview of the situation.
Well, as we look at the winter wheat crop breaking dormancy, we won't receive any updates from USDA on the winter wheat crop as a whole until we get to the first week of April. But some individual states, key production states, have started providing updates on the conditions of their crops, and more specifically, the concerns are on the Plains hard red winter wheat crop, where drought has been a problem, as well as winter kill has been a more significant problem. We saw ratings in Oklahoma and Kansas, for example, slashed in early February when they issued their monthly reports. Those states just updated their monthly winter condition scores and showed some modest additional declines. So during the month of January, we saw significant declines in winter wheat ratings in those key production states of Kansas and Oklahoma, with additional modest declines in the month of February. We also saw some additional declines in Texas and in Nebraska. So that should continue to provide some underpinning support for winter wheat prices as a whole as we go into the spring, particularly with the threat of potentially losing wheat supplies out of the Black Sea region due to political turmoil there. It makes it all the more important that we have a good crop here in the United States.
Now, what does the global shortage look like for wheat?
Well, for wheat as a whole, wheat supplies are about a 20 to 21 day supply above the levels seen in 2007-2008 that gave us record high prices. So we do have ample supplies if there's no legitimate threat to the supplies that are out there now or the crop that is growing in the ground in the northern hemisphere. However, it does leave us vulnerable if we were to lose those Black Sea supplies or if we were to have a major production problem in one of the significant growing areas of the United States. So the funds have been focused on the fact that supplies are adequate. If a problem emerges that I mentioned, then suddenly they'd have to exit their short or sold positions, and we'd have to start building some risk premium back into the market again.
All right. Well, I'm sure wheat growers are eagerly looking forward to spring so they can better evaluate their crop.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, it'll probably be a very late spring for the Midwest soft red winter wheat crop with a very cool warm-up. That doesn't favor high yields. High yields tend to come from a long grain fill period, which tends to be an early break of spring and a late start to summer. This time it looks like we're going to have a very late start to the spring, shortening that grain fill period. So that's going to put even more pressure on the plains, which will probably warm up a little bit quicker and has already seen some temperatures in the 60s and 70s start to bring the crop out of dormancy. It's going to put a little bit more pressure on that region to produce a big crop.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Genomic testing is becoming more and more popular in the beef industry. For many in agriculture, the American Angus Association says accuracy and reliability are becoming required tools of the trade. Area farmer T.J. Curtin says the use of DNA technology in the cattle industry is much like the use of seed varieties in row crop operations. He notes seed corn companies offer much more information on each variety today, which improves accuracy. He likens buying a bull to buying a bag of seed corn and says he's willing to use genomic technology to offer higher accuracy. Curtin says farmers take risks all the time, and it's of great value when they can lessen that risk. Curtin has come to realize the value of additional data provided by DNA testing brings to buyers as they decide what animals to purchase. That's why he decided to bring that technology into his own operation. Curtin is just one in a growing number of cattlemen contributing genomic information to the expected progeny differences, or EDPs, produced by the American Angus Association. During the fiscal year 2013, Angus Genetics Inc., or AGI, included high-density genomic results on more than 40,000 in the weekly national cattle evaluation, and that upward trend is holding true in 2014 as well.